Spirit, conceive in Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one.
Welcome to our service for the 26th of July, 2020. My name is Max Cross. I'm the rector, the church leader of Bedhampton Parish, and you are welcome today as we continue our series on practicing the way of Jesus. This week, we look at doing what Jesus did. Polly will be breaking open the scriptures and looking at how we do what Jesus did in our final part of introducing practicing the way of Jesus. But before we move into the main section of our worship this morning, let me talk to you about our hopes for opening up the church buildings for Sunday worship once again in September. From the 6th of September, we hope to open up St Nicholas for a 9 a.m. service and St Thomas's for an 11 a.m. service every Sunday. In addition to that, we will have a 9:30 a.m. service every Wednesday, which alternates between St Nicholas and St Thomas's. I've issued a pattern of worship for the foreseeable future, which you can find on our website or on your news sheet. We're greatly restricted in what we're able to do right now, and so we've had to pick this new pattern of worship for the time being. We'll also not be able to sing songs for the time being, but we will enable sung worship to be heard and to have reflection upon. We're also asking that you wear a face covering when you come to one of the services. The Central Church of England have asked us to do that. And so we're asking you honour them in their leadership of us and wear a face covering. We'll provide some for those that forget and turn up without one. But if you can bring one along, that'd be awesome. This is a great opportunity for us to gather once again. But we have to be real and say this will not be the services that you are used to. The pattern of services will mean that we will have three opportunities in a month to have Holy Communion on a Sunday, but also Holy Communion will be available every Wednesday morning at 9:30. So there are multiple opportunities to receive communion, and I know many of you are looking forward to receiving communion again. Can I say, we're really excited about the opportunity to meet together once again. But we will also continue to enable this service, this online service, because we know there will be some of you that are unable to attend the building at this point. If you have any questions at all, any concerns, you know how to get hold of me. Speak to me and we can talk about why we're doing what we're doing, how we're trying to encourage our whole community of worship moving forward, and how we might do even more of that in the months and the year to come. We know, guys, that it isn't exactly what we would hope for at this point or what we would want, but we are moving forward in this new way so that we can come together. Do be praying for those who aren't able to attend for health reasons or other reasons. Do be praying for your church leadership, that's me and others, the wardens and other people, as we try and enable this. And we are very grateful for your support and your flexibility as we do this. Also, don't forget that on Wednesdays and Sundays at the moment, you can meet for private prayer anyway. You can meet for private prayer in St. Thomas's between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. on a Wednesday and a Sunday. Time to sit there in that building and reflect and pray with your God. The same building that Christians who have gone before us have met in for hundreds of years. We're really excited about meeting together once again. But as I said, we're not going to forget that there are many of us who have met online for the last 6 months and will continue to meet online for some time to come. Indeed, some of you have never met me physically. I know I've had conversations with some of you because you found us online, and we look forward for you continuing to be part of our family as we do that. And as I've said, pray. Pray the foundations of God's grace and favour on us here in Bedhampton and where you live. Again, this Wednesday there will be an opportunity for prayer. And do pray wherever you are for God's kingdom to come right here right now. We don't have to wait for some heaven in the future. Yes, we get to meet Jesus in the future, but actually he was all about his kingdom coming in the here and now. So as we begin our service, let's take some time to be quiet and remember that Jesus loves you and he wants his kingdom to come in the here and now. As ever, as I read, there'll be some words that come up on the screen. If you want to, indeed, let me encourage you to join in with those as we move forward. Becoming like Jesus, doing what Jesus did, being with Jesus. These have been our topics over the last few weeks. And as we move forward into the summer break, we will have some new topics as we look at God in the lockdown. But right now, our hope is for God's kingdom to come. So let's take some time to be quiet and welcome his spirit in doing that. God is spirit. Let us worship him in spirit and in truth. The Lord is with us. Let us praise his name together. In a moment, we're just going to say sorry to God for the mistakes we've made. But before we do, just reflecting on those words, let us praise his name together. Why don't you just take a moment now just to be grateful to God for whatever it is he's blessed you with in your life. Let's just say it out loud where you are. Take some time to praise God for just for who he is. And so, Lord, I praise you. I praise you for simply being who you are to us. Thank you, Jesus, for being who you are, for being our Saviour. Thank you, Spirit, for your guidance. Thank you, Father, for your love. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the one God, the true God, the God who creates, the God who loves us beyond measure. You are all we could ever hope for in a God who loves us. Amen. It's good to thank God for who he is sometimes, isn't it? I mean, how would you feel if all your children did was come to you with a list of things that they wanted from you? And I think often we do that. Certainly often I do that. And it's good to recognize that he is our provider and we're grateful to him. He is our God and we love him for who he is. And he loves us so much, of course, that he sent Jesus, that we might be able to be with him, that we might be forgiven. And so we're going to take that time now to ask for his forgiveness. Take a moment to be quiet. Cast your minds back over the last few weeks. Bring before God the areas of your lives where you're perhaps not proud, where maybe you could have acted differently. Let's do that now. Perhaps bring to mind those mistakes and those sins. If it helps you in your imagination, picture handing them over to God. God, our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. for letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son, Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. And now we receive that forgiveness, and may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We were reflecting in the sermon discussion group this week, which meets normally on a Wednesday, how it's one thing to ask and receive forgiveness. It's quite another to believe it and move on. But you are forgiven when you come to Jesus. He died on the cross for you, and you are forgiven, and indeed a new creation. Which is why I was so delighted to receive this song this week from Donna and Phil to share with you. I am a new creation, one of my favourites, The Truth, sung out to us now. Going to be humming that all week, aren't you? Now we come to that time when we read the Bible, the scriptures, God's word to us. And today we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Firstly, we're going to hear from Celia, who's going to read Matthew 4:18-25. And then we're going to read from Anne, one of our church wardens who worships primarily at St. Thomas. And she's going to read Matthew 28:16-20.
As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him.
The reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning at verse 16, the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for that, Celia and Anne. And now Polly is going to delve into what it means to do what Jesus did.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you again. Last week when Max spoke to us, he asked us a couple of questions. What do we need to change? And what can we do to be more like Jesus? One thing we can't do is change the past. But we can change how we think about the past. You can't change your past, but you can change how you allow your past to affect your present and your future. You can't change your past, but you can learn from it. And the theme this week is do what Jesus did. So, let's turn to the Bible to see what that is. Today's readings are both from the book of Matthew. And in Matthew 4, verses 18 to 25, we have the calling of the first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. So here we have two sets of brothers, all of them fishermen. Now, I don't know too much about fishermen in Jesus' day, but I would imagine that they were quite rough and ready. Their language might have been quite ripe. And they're probably not the sort of people you would expect a rabbi to call and say, "Follow me." Indeed, James and John were also nicknamed the Sons of Thunder, probably because of their fiery tempers. Really, not the sort of people you would want to be your disciples and to follow you. And these four men, as soon as they heard the call, they left their boats, they left their nets, they left their livelihood and they followed Jesus. That's quite amazing, isn't it? James and John were even out fishing with their dad, Zebedee, but they left him. They left their boat and they followed. How amazing is that? And for me, there's some similarities between the calling of the first disciples and the calling of Abraham. In both cases, God took the initiative. And the response of obedience was immediate. There was also a promise to turn the people into a force to be reckoned with. Abraham was become a great nation, and through him and his descendants all the families of the world would be blessed. The disciples were turned into a force bringing humans into the kingdom of God. And then it says, after Jesus called the disciples, he went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And the closing verses of chapter 4 are the first of Matthew's many summary statements about Jesus' fame spreading throughout a region. The region Jesus was preaching in here was located on a major trade route that linked Damascus to the north with Egypt in the south. And all the villages and towns were reasonably densely populated, and so Jesus' fame spread. So what can we learn from this about doing what Jesus did? He called close friends to him who would support him in his work. Who are the people who surround you, who support you? Are they people who support you in God's work, or do they prevent you from doing God's work? And Jesus went about healing the sick. He looked after the needs of others. Do you look out for the needs of others? Do you pray for those who are sick or in need? Let's just pause for thought a minute there. Our second reading today also came from the book of Matthew. And this comes right from the end of Matthew. In Matthew 28, and it's actually the last five verses of Matthew, and we often call it the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Do we respond to Jesus with a heart of worship? But some doubted. Do you know, it's okay to doubt. It's okay to ask questions, because Jesus doesn't want us to follow him blindly. He wants us to engage the brains we've been given and to follow because we want to, not just because we're told to or because we think we ought to. And then Jesus came upon them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus moved in the power he'd been given. And then verse 19, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Therefore, go and make disciples. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus had promised to make the disciples into fishers of men. And now we've got this in a concrete form. And the words of the Great Commission are centred around two active verbs, go and make. We need to be an active participant in this mission. We can't do what Jesus did by being passive. It's our duty to go and make disciples and to do what Jesus did by spending time investing in relationships. Jesus chose 12 of the most unlikely people to be his disciples. He spent time with them. He shared meals with them. He didn't turn them into converts. He turned them into disciples. He turned them into apprentices of him. And our job is to go and make disciples with the promise that God will be with us to the very end of the age. If we're a disciple of Jesus, we are his apprentice. We need to grow in what he did. What did he do? He preached the gospel. He taught the way. He was healing the sick, casting out demons, eating and drinking with people far from God. He did justice. He was a peacemaker. He prayed. He prophesied. He stood up against religious and political corruption. As an apprentice of Jesus, our goal is to do all of this. So as we finish, I just want to leave you with a couple of questions. How far are you on your journey being an apprentice with Jesus? And then secondly, how can we as a church support one another to become more like Jesus so that we can do what Jesus did?
always challenging to hear from Polly. And do you know why? Because Polly lives it out in her life as well. She doesn't just challenge us, she lives it out. And so I'm so grateful to have her on board as part of our leadership team here in Bedhant. Now, I guess we have to go and do what Jesus did. But before we go and do what Jesus did, we are going to pray together first.
Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet with you this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to come to you directly and without interruption and without delay. We praise you as ruler of all. We worship you as our Redeemer, as the one true God. Correct our hearts that we may be calm in your power and restful in your control. Remove any worry and anxiety in our hearts and replace it with trust in your victory. We worry about the world, about its physical health and environmental health, and about our own economic climate. We worry about where Britain will find itself in the new future. But we stop that worrying now. We believe and trust in our Lord and Saviour, ruler of all, our Emmanuel, our God with us. There is nothing in this world that you are not in control of. Thank you for your awesomeness. We praise you and your name. We look to you for our salvation. We look to you, Lord Jesus, as our King. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. Help us to give up any views of our world that are not from you. Help us to look to your kingdom rather than look back to what has been past. Build your kingdom here. Help us to rebuild in your image. Father, forgive us for when we have fallen short of your expectations, when we have not recognized you in the way we should, when we have not sought you this week, when we have not focused on your word. Forgive us and help us to be better servants. Thank you for every opportunity you give us to be better. Father, we think of those who are unwell and those in need of our prayers. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, for those who mourn and for those who grieve. Grant them peace and a closeness of your spirit. We pray for those who are unwell, those who need healing, those who are anxious about managing and coping, and those whose burdens are heavy. We ask that you be with those who suffer and give clear guidance as to how your church can support them. And finally, a prayer by Richard of Christopher in 1253. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for all the benefits you have won for us. Most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen.
Thank you for those prayers. Do you know, when we meet together, we often say one of our creeds, which is some of the things that we believe about who God is as Father, who God is as Son, who God is as Holy Spirit. And today we're not going to say our creed. In fact, we're going to listen or sing our creed as we hear the song and sing to the song, I Believe.
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating, Spirit conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ. Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious life. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you.
We believe, don't we? As we come to the end of our time here together, before we finish with a blessing of one another, I want to say I hope that the last few weeks have been really eye-opening for you. We've been looking at an introduction to practicing the way of Jesus, to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And we'll be delving more into those areas over the next few years together, going deeper into each of those areas. But I hope you know now that Jesus came that you might have life and life to the full. And that included being like him and doing what he did and being with him. Over the next few weeks during August, before we return to our church buildings on the 6th of September, we're going to be looking at God in the lockdown. I don't know about you, but I have learned a great deal about God during our time in lockdown. And I've asked a number of people to share about what they have learned of God during the lockdown. So we're going to be hearing some different stories from different people over the August time. But before we finish together today, let me ask you right now to bring to mind those who you would worship with normally on a Sunday. Maybe that's at St. Thomas's at the 8 a.m. bring them to mind. Maybe it's at St. Nicholas's at the 9:30, bring them to mind. Maybe it's at St. Thomas's at the 11 or one of the other churches on the Wednesday morning, bring them to mind. Maybe you meet in a home group, bring them to mind. Maybe you've never been to our church buildings, but you've joined us online. Bring to mind the people that you've seen on the screens over the last few weeks. And we're going to bless one another, because it's not just me who can ask God to bless us. You can too. And we're going to say what we call the grace. You don't need to know it, because the words will come up on the screen. But hold those people in your minds now as we say these words together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Have a fantastic week. And why don't you go now and phone someone who you brought to mind as we said the grace together. Now go and do what Jesus did.
A joy that knows no limits.